presenting the transcription feature, Superman!
Look! Up in the sky!
It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's Superman! Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from the planet Krypton, who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can leap tall buildings at a single bound, race a speeding bullet to its target, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth and justice.
And now to our story. It begins today in the office of Perry White, managing editor of the Daily Planet. With America arming for defense, the role of the great daily newspaper has become an important one. Hour after hour, day in and day out, by phone, radio, and teletype, an endless stream of vital information reaches the editorial desks, there to be turned into news. The busy offices of the Daily Planet are no exception. As we join Perry White, we find him issuing instructions to three of his key men. Listen.
Barber, I want you to cover coal mining. Get me all the facts, production figures, tonnage, everything connected with the part coal is playing in national defense.
Okay, Chief.
Jackson, you're to report on steel production.
Right.
Buckley, you take water power.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want you men to get going immediately. We're holding page one of the second section open for your byline stories. But understand one thing. I don't want any warmed-over stuff. Dig way down deep. We want to tell our readers exactly what American men and women are doing to protect democracy. Okay, go back to your desk now. You're on your own.
Thank you. Thank you.
Miss Barnes, send Clark Kent in immediately. And check Adams on those plane production figures. Should have had them 2 hours ago. I don't care what the reason is. We're running a daily newspaper, not a monthly magazine. Get those figures. Always handy with excuses. Busy with this, busy with that. Maybe if they wasted less time thinking up excuses, they'd have some sense.
You must have money in the bank, Mr. White.
What? Huh? What? Oh, it's you, Kent.
You're talking to yourself. That's supposed to mean money in the bank.
No, I'm just going crazy, that's all. I'll be cutting out paper dolls soon.
Ah, what's up?
All right, now, my blood pressure. I asked for American plane production figures 2 days ago and haven't got them yet. What's the use? Sit down, Kent.
Okay.
Now, Kent, this newspaper has been falling down on the job.
Oh, is circulation dropping?
No, of course not. I mean, we're falling down on our coverage of defense news. A newspaper owes an obligation to the public. An obligation to keep every reader in touch with what's going on.
Well, we run stories on armaments, planes, battleships.
Yeah, that's not enough. There's more to it than the actual manufacture of implements of war. There's a bigger, more interesting story. The story of America's national and natural resources. The story of where national defense starts. In the coal mines, in the steel foundries, on the oil fields.
Sounds like a great idea, Chief.
No, what I want you to do is this.
Kent, it's a special delivery letter from...
Why, you insolent little brat. Didn't I tell you last week never to come tearing into my office like a tornado? You're fired.
But the letter is from Tumbleweed Jones.
I don't care if it's from Santa Claus. You're fired.
Wait a minute. Mr. White, close the door.
Nobody's talking me out of it this time. He's fired, do you understand, Kent? He's fired.
I don't think you're being quite fair, Mr. White. After all...
I'm running this newspaper. Or am I?
Why, of course you are. What I was going to say was that I can understand Jimmy's enthusiasm. You remember Tumbleweed Jones, don't you?
No, and what if I did?
Well, Tumbleweed was that cowboy we met out west, Jimmy and I. Matter of fact, Tumbleweed Jones saved Jimmy's life. Is it any wonder he forgot himself when he saw a letter from him?
All right, then. He's not fired, but get him out of here.
Oh, aren't you going to read the letter, Mr. Kent? It's special delivery. Maybe it's important.
Oh, I'm sure it's important. So important that we ought to stop all work immediately. Declare a holiday, run up the flags, hire a brass band.
Mr. White is being funny to me.
Yes, funny as a crutch. Oh, go ahead, read the letter and get it over with. I can wait. I just work here.
There's no hurry, Mr. White.
I'll read it before that kid has a nervous collapse.
Oh, Jimmy? Okay.
Well, what's it say, Mr. Kent?
Just a second. Let's see now. Dear partner.
Oh, gosh, that sounds just like Tumbleweed.
We can dispense with the side remarks.
I'm sorry.
Dear partner, first off, I gotta tell you, I'm one ornery cayuse for not having written sooner, but writing don't come easy. And since I've been a pretty busy hombre drilling oil...
Did you say drilling oil?
Yeah, that's what he writes. Since I've been a pretty busy hombre drilling oil, there ain't been a whole lot of time. You see, Comanche Joe up and give me a parcel of land to raise beef on, and what do you know but I struck oil. Yes, sir, not only me, but everybody in these parts has struck it, and it just ain't ranch country no more. That's a wonderful break for Tumbleweed, isn't it?
Oh, it's swell.
Go on. Finish the letter.
Let's see, where was I? And ain't just ain't ranch country no more. Of course, striking it rich like I done ain't all honey. They say oil is good to smooth things over, kind of, but this oil of mine has got me into a little trouble. That's why I'm writing you, partner, figuring maybe you could get some of them smart city lawyers to kind of unlimber this trouble for me. Of course, I'll put the bills on top of being much obliged to you. If I'm asking too much, just you hog-tie me and there'll be no hard feelings. If you can help me out, just write me a letter telling me so, and I'll send you all the information pronto. In the meantime, say hello for me to Jimmy, and tell him if he ever gets out this way again, I got the best dang pinto pony for him he ever set eyes on.
Oh, golly.
Your friend, Tumbleweed Jones. P.S. I still make the best darn fudge in the world. Yeah, leave it to Tumbleweed to get in a plug for his fudge, huh?
Gosh, I wonder what sort of trouble he's in, Mr. Kent.
Yeah, whatever it is, Jimmy, you can bet we'll move heaven and earth to help. I'll send him a wire.
How would you like to go out there, Kent?
Do you mean that, Mr. White?
Is your name Kent?
No, sir.
Then keep quiet.
You serious, Mr. White?
You don't think I'm talking to keep myself amused, do you? Of course I'm serious. You see, before this excuse for a copy boy barged in here, I was about to tell you I'd picked you to write the story on the oil industry and its part in national defense. I don't know any better place to start than an oil field.
Oh, that sounds wonderful, Mr. White. I can kill two birds with one stone. What about Jimmy?
Well, what about him?
Well, I thought perhaps he could... Oh,
I knew it. I knew it.
Oh, don't worry about me, Mr. Kent. I'd like to go,
You see, Mr. White, Tumbleweed and Jimmy were very close friends. In fact...
I'm a jellyfish. Nothing but a jellyfish.
What? You mean I can go?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yippee!
Stop the horn, cold! Stop that racket! Now, Kent, don't forget you're going out there to write oil stories, not to play around.
Oh, you can count on me, Chief. All right, come on, Jim. We've got tickets to get, clothes to pack.
Oh, gosh, thanks a million, Mr. White.
Yippee!
Will you two lunatics get out of here before I go back?
Announcing the departure of flight number 7 for Denver, Chicago, and New York. Now loading at gate number 3, announcing the departure of flight number 7 for
Excuse
Denver,
me, mister,
Chicago,
but,
and New York.
Could you tell me when that Metropolis plane gets in? I got a telegram here that says she's due at 4:20. Is that right?
That's right. Be in any minute now.
Much obliged.
Right. Expecting someone, Tumbleweed?
Huh? Oh, well, I didn't see you, Mr. Larson.
I spotted you waiting at the gate. Expecting someone?
Yep.
You didn't order yourself a wife from one of those big city matrimonial bureaus, did you?
Shucks, no. Nothing like that. I got some friends coming in from Metropolis.
Huh?
A reporter fella named Clark Kent and his little partner, Jimmy Ulf.
News reporter, huh?
Yep. Darn good one, too. He's smarter than a whip. Have some fudge, Mr. Larson?
No, thank you. You haven't changed your mind about joining the Oil Association, have you, Tumbleweed?
No, not so you'd notice it. I ain't taking orders from no crooked cayuse, even if he is president in the bank. No, sir. I'd sooner eat crow.
No, I don't think you're being fair to Mr. Cheney, Tumbleweed. It just happens that he owns the only pipeline and railroad spur that can transport oil from this section of the Bear River Refinery. He organized the association to protect all you boys from outside interference.
Yeah, that's his story, and it don't make good telling.
Now, look, Tumbleweed. I've been your oil broker ever since your first well came through. But I can't sell your oil unless it gets to the refinery.
It'll get there.
How?
It ain't no secret now, because them trucks are setting by my number one well, filling up right this very minute.
Trucks?
Yep. 3 big oil trucks, Mr. Larson. They hold 2,000 gallons apiece. I'll be delivering oil to the refinery tonight.
You mean you bought oil trucks of your own?
Nothing else but.
Well, Tumbleweed, all I've got to say is I think
Attention,
you made a big...
please. Announcing the arrival of Flight 9 from Metropolis at Gate 6. Announcing the arrival of Flight 9...
I'm sorry,
Mr.
Larson,
Metropolis,
but that's the plane I've been waiting for. I'll be seeing you shortly. Gosh, old Hemlock, sure is good to see you again, Mr. Kent. And you too, Jimmy. Darned if it ain't.
You didn't finish telling us about the Oil Association, Tumbleweed.
Oh, ain't nothing more to tell. Cheney owns the pipeline and the railroad spur, and he just cooked up this association, figuring he'd get the boys all in and then charge them sky-high prices to transport their oil.
Uh-huh.
And that's what he's doing. I won't have no part of them polecat tricks.
How many oil men have joined the association?
All but me and Leif McCall. And Cheney says he's going to run us out of business.
Yeah?
That's why I figured I'd better write and ask you what kind of legal grounds I was standing on. I got a head like a pumpkin, you know.
Well, it seems to me you can sell your oil as you please and transport it as you please.
That's what I figured. So I got me three big trucks. Now let them try and stop me. I'll run Cheney so full of arrows he'll look like a turkey. Huh, Jimmy?
You bet, Tumbleweed. And I'll help you.
I knew you would. Well, there now. You see up ahead? You see them derricks?
Yeah.
They're old tumbleweeds. And they're spouting oil 24 hours a day.
Boy.
And that's the ranch house behind them. Ain't so bad for a dumb ox of a cowhand, eh?
Not bad at all, Tumbleweed.
Aren't those rifle shots?
Nothing else but. Oh, Danny. Whoa, Jack. Listen.
Those were shots, all right. Way up ahead of us.
What can it be, Tumbleweed?
Yes, what I've been expecting, Mr. Kent. Trouble. Hold on now. We're going to head right into it. Get up, Danny. Get up, Jack. Come on.
Is Tumbleweed right? Do the rifle shots indicate trouble at his oil field? Clark Kent doesn't know it, but he and Jimmy, perched on the front seat of Tumbleweed's buckboard, are riding into more excitement than they've had in a long time. So ride with them for thrills and adventure. Tune in the next episode and listen with Superman.
Don't forget, tune in again for the next thrilling episode with Superman.
Look, up in the sky.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.